Golf Today, now on the air. George Savarikas with Eamon Lynch for the next couple hours. Such a special time of year, and what has really become a two-week celebration of golf in Augusta, kicked off with the Augusta National Women's Amateur.
Would you have found the middle of that fairway with all those eyeballs?
TBD, my man.
I can certainly tell you I would not. I would have maybe hit the adjacent fairway. But you could argue these are probably the two most important weeks in the game right now, because you're both in a development sense and then what is next week regarded by so many fans as the pinnacle of the sport with the Masters. But this week, this is an event that it's not a prelude to anything. This event had stature on day one that equals almost anything else in the women's amateur game. And then, of course, the drive, chip and putt, which is really the pinnacle of any kind of junior golf or developmental golf in the United States at this point as well. So this really is the first day of what is basically a 10-12-day stretch that really sort of defines so much of the game these days.
And there are some immediate traditions that were already a part of this event almost instantaneously. Mm-hmm. This now the sixth playing of it. But of course, you know, Tuesday during Masters Week, you have the Champions Dinner. Well, one of the great traditions with the Augusta National Women's Amateur, Tuesday night before the start of play, they get dinner with the chairman, Fred Ridley. I always love seeing the photo every year, Eamon. Up front.
It really is. This is kind of the next generation of superstars in the LPGA Tour.
Just a reminder, get everyone up to speed. The format, 54-hole tournament with the first two rounds contested at Champions Retreat Golf Club today, tomorrow. There'll be a cut after 36 holes. It'll just be the top 30 players plus ties advancing in the final round, which will be played at Augusta National on Saturday. There will be a practice round at Augusta on Friday for the entire field, regardless of whether or not they have made the cut. Let's get to those early highlights. We're going to start with a defending champ, Lottie Woad. After birdieing the first, left side of the fairway on the second, here's her approach.
She nestles this one pretty close.
Woad off to a flying start, birdieing one and trying to make it back-to-back on two.
Defending champion making a statement. There has never been a repeat or even multiple winner of the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Here she is a couple of holes later on the fourth, her second shot.
Wondering how she'd handle the spotlight of returning as defending champion.
I'd say pretty well she's handling it.
I mean, she's hitting pure iron shot after pure iron shot, and the putter joining the party.
Three under through her first four holes.
David, how about Mega Gunner?
Another familiar name over the last couple of years in this championship. She started on the back nine. She's one under par here. She is on the 12th, her second shot. Pitches right by the hole. Rolls out a little bit. Leaves herself about a 12-15 footer.
Gunner. Working from left to right. Bottom of the cup, moves her to two under.
That was part of her run of three straight birdies. Now she is on the par four 16th. She's three under par. This her second shot. It's about as far away from the hole as she's hit it all day, George, but didn't really make a difference.
The result. Like, why are we showing this seemingly average iron shot? That's because another birdie for Gane. Looks can be deceiving when you have a putter that hot. Mega Gane. Check this out now, Eamon. She's at 7 under through 12.
Yeah, she just eagled the third hole, her 12th. She's on quite a run, a four-stroke lead early on day one.
Lottie Woad, 3 under through 6. But Mega Gane, out in front, four-shot lead. I didn't think we'd see that big a margin this early in the proceedings. Paige McKenzie, part of our broadcast team this weekend in Augusta, joining us now from Champions Retreat. So let's start right at the top. How about the start from Mega Gane in easier conditions than we've seen in years past?
It is easier, and it's also worth pointing out, she was only the second tee time out, so it is still early as it relates to players trying to go out and catch her. But as it relates to the scoring out here today, this was somewhat to be expected. Over the last several years, what we've seen from Champions Retreat is a firm and fast golf course. Difficult greens because they firm out, difficult hole locations to get to because of the firmness. Well, that has not been the case this year. In fact, this area received a ton of rain on Monday night, and this golf course just plays very soft. And what will happen, or what we expected to happen, was some of this lower scoring. It's going to certainly be an advantage to the longer hitters, but I actually think it may bring more players into the fold this week, because a five iron's just as receptive as maybe a pitching wedge was over the last few years. So we may see a few more players kind of in the mix that we wouldn't have been able to see in the last few years as we've participated in this event through the first 36 holes of this golf tournament.
Paige, does that diminish the value of the experience for some of these players a little bit, because they've become accustomed in the last few years to Champions Retreat playing in a very different manner than they're seeing it today?
I certainly don't think it's diminished the experience at all. Whenever you can see a golf course change and evolve with the conditions, I think that makes it all that more interesting. The fact that we haven't had as much wind this year as we've had in years past as well will change how this golf course is being played. The only concern that I do have, though, is we have had this Champions Retreat be a great litmus test for those players moving on to Augusta National on the weekend. In fact, if you look at the trends of the winners over the past 5 years, you will see that the 36-hole leader has gone on to win 3 out of the 5 times, which shows that the cream does rise to the top. In addition to that, 2 of the 5 winners were ranked number one in the world at the time of them winning. And in this one I found very interesting. The number one ranked player coming into this week has gone on to win twice, gotten third twice, and the worst finish of the number one ranked player is a tie for 12th, but that was when Rose Zhang was playing with a broken toe. So if there's any indication about how this 2 days can translate into the eventual winner, it's a big part of the story, and it's a great test leading into the test that they will see on Saturday at Augusta National.
Speaking of that test, Paige, you did a really interesting walk and talk with Lottie Woad yesterday, and you made the point of the sudden value that is placed on this practice round at Augusta National come Friday, because if they're playing a soft golf course for the next 2 days, well, Augusta has the luxury of setting whatever conditions it wishes to have because of the sub-air system there. So it's going to be a very jarring transition from potentially from a soft golf course to a firmer golf course for the final round.
It's a great point, and it's a great point to be made that it may not have that same translation over the course of the 54 holes as it has in years past. However, I want to point out that our paradigm, having covered professional golf, it is expected that players get that Monday, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, days worth of practice rounds before teeing it up on a Thursday through Sunday in the professional world. The women that are playing here play in the amateur world, where you're only given one practice round. You have to make quick adjustments and know how to adjust to different golf courses on very short practice. And for that reason, I think that the women will have a pretty good idea come Saturday how that golf course will be playing, just based on the one practice round on Friday. It's going to be a challenge, but they know and have been conditioned to prepare for golf courses quickly, because that's how you do it in the amateur game.
Paige, how are things going to shift forecast-wise later in the week when we're looking at course conditions spinning at 4?
Well, certainly moisture and potentially storms coming in is going to be part of the story, certainly over the next 48 hours. When we woke up this morning, it was a misty overcast. It's starting to brighten up a little bit in the backdrop, but that's going to be a part of the story as we move forward for the rest of the weekend, certainly what to expect down here in Augusta, Georgia.
Paige, you've covered this tournament since its inception, and it's very easy for the fans, and potentially even for the players, to let their minds wander to the weekend first and forget about the test that's posed by Champions Retreat. But this is a golf course that really has taken its pound of flesh out of players over the last few years. What do you think players need to focus on for these couple of days to make sure they actually have that tee time on Saturday?
Well, the good news is the greens are amazing, and they have been every single year. It is no exception this year. So I think for players going out over the first couple of days, whether it's playing hard, firm, and fast, or whether it's playing soft, you've got to give yourself a birdie opportunity. And I think the challenge when it starts to soften up is players want to be more aggressive. They want to take shorter lines in, and that can get you into trouble. The way that the hole locations can be tucked around here, being short-sighted can be very, very costly. So that's something to pay attention to as these players try to chase a low score on the leaderboard, making sure that they're being on the safe side of these hole locations and just giving themselves a putt at it. There's no reason why players can't, with these fairways and as accurate of drivers as the players are, they can go after, just hit fairway, hit the middle of the green, and try to make a birdie putt. I think that's going to be the key. I know it's cliche, but that's going to be the key for these players today, even in the soft conditions. Don't get overly aggressive and shortside yourself.
One thing we can say this early on round one is that the cream is already rising to the top of the leaderboard. Paige, thank you. We look forward to hearing you on the coverage later.
Thank you, guys.
And Corey Connors joins us now from a rainy San Antonio, Texas. Corey, you're coming off some great form recently. You've had top 10 finishes, three straight events. You're going to an event where you've won twice at TPC San Antonio. You've got to feel pretty confident heading into this week.
Yeah, I sure am. It's a place I always look forward to coming back to, a really special place to me and my family, having a couple PGA Tour wins here. But yeah, the game's been good, and I'm excited to get back here and put it to the test once again.
Corey, you got two wins on tour. Both have come here at the Bowlero Texas Open. Why has TPC San Antonio brought out the best in your game?
Yeah, it's a golf course that I like. I think it's really demanding from tee to green. Your iron play has to be really sharp. The approach play into the greens is very important here. And I think I've struck my irons really solidly both times I've won here. And that's definitely been a big aspect to why I've had success.
I reached out last night, Corey, to your buddy Bob Weeks, the Dean of Canadian Golf Journalists, and he told me Ping has actually just built you a new putter recently, and it seems to have made a difference for you. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I put a new putter in play at the Arnold Palmer Invitational about a month ago, and it's performed really well for me. So it's a very different model to what I've been using basically my whole career. It's closer to a center shafted putter. The shaft is a little bit back from the face and close to the middle of the putter. It's different look for me. It's square mallet, but I picked it up in Phoenix at one of the tour events on the putting green, rolled a few putts with it, and I really liked how it felt. Put it to the test when I was home for a couple weeks before the Florida swing, and put it in the bag, and it's been really solid. I feel like the start line, and I'm hitting a lot of solid putts. It's easy to line up. It just kind of checks a lot of the boxes that you need to be able to roll it well. So it's been good so far, and hopefully can keep the magic going with it.
Yeah, putting's been the X factor for you this season. You're all the way up to 60th in the strokes gained putting ranks, which would be a career best. How much will this week prepare you for next week, a place where you've had three career top 10 finishes at Augusta?
Yeah, I think the aspect of this golf course, it's demanding into the greens. It's tricky off the tee. I think you can gain a lot of confidence by hitting it well here, and it's good preparation for Augusta National next week, where you really need to be in control of your golf ball. I found just good ball striking here can lead some confidence, and the wind can be blowing. There's lots of elements here that make it challenging. So you have to be really sharp with your game, and good results here give you a lot of confidence.
Corey, I'm told you're a huge Toronto Maple Leafs fan. The last time they won the Stanley Cup was a quarter century before you were born. Is this the year?
I sure hope so. I love the Toronto Maple Leafs. I like their team. They've been playing solid. They got important final few games of the season here to try and get the top spot in their division. But I'll be cheering them on regardless, and hopefully can get to a few playoff games.
Corey, the Mike Weir effect is palpable when it comes to Canadian golf. Of course, he won the Green Jacket back in 2003. You see this generation of Canadian player with yourself, two-time winner on the PGA Tour. Nick Taylor has 5 wins. Mackenzie Hughes, 2 wins. Taylor Pendrith, Adam Svensson, each have a win. Adam Hadwin as well. Aside from the support system you guys all share, how much of it is a motivator as well to try and emerge as the player of this generation of Canadian golfer?
Yeah, I think we're all close friends, but we're all pushing each other to try and have success here on the PGA Tour. It's a fun group to be a part of, and we were definitely all inspired by Mike Weir. And to have so many of us now on the PGA Tour is great. And We all want to be the best, but we're all, you know, cheering for one another as well. So I think, you know, there's a good balance where, you know, we're all supporting and pushing each other, and been fortunate to have some success and get to represent my country a number of times. So trying to be that guy, but wishing all the other guys the best as well. They're all really close to breaking through.
Well, you're rounding in a great form. Couldn't think of a better two-week stretch for you to come back to Valero now as the highest ranked you've ever been in your career, 21st, with the Masters the following week as well. We'll be watching. Corey, thanks for the time.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks very much.
A champion's finish as Jennifer Kupcho is the first winner of the Augusta National Women's Amateur. 17-year-old Tsubasa Kajitani, the champion of the second playing of the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Anna Davis comes back and wins the title. Rose Zhang has won the 2023 Augusta National Women's Amateur title. She did it! She did it! And Lonnie Woad has won the 2024 Augusta National Women's Amateur in grand style.
It's one of the great weeks in the game as top amateurs converge on Georgia for the sixth edition of the Augusta National Women's Amateur. First round is underway at Champions Retreat Golf Club. We are leading you into coverage at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Golf Channel. Quite the roster of champions that we've compiled in just 6 years of this event, George.
It's been amazing to see, and you couldn't think of a better starting note with what Jennifer Kupcho did and eagling 13 and having that amazing run to the finish line.
That was quite the shootout with Maria Fassi that year.
It was awesome, and that was such a great tone setter to have. And then you've had all these different champions emerge from different parts of the world, different ages. Anna Davis to maybe the unexpected category to the expected in a coronation with Rose Zhang. So it's been nice to see each and every year. It's been an added chapter. We haven't had a year where we've gotten off to a start this fast. And what Megan Gane is doing right now, let's get to those highlights. She was T20 last year, a bit softer conditions. They've had a lot of rain in the area to begin their spring. She started the day on the back nine. She's one under playing the par 4 12th, her second shot.
Pitches it by the hole, runs by about 12 feet.
And with the putter today, anywhere on the green in birdie range for Megan Gane, buckets to two under.
She's making her fifth appearance in the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Top 10 a couple of years ago, finished 20th last year. Here she is on the par 4 16th.
Her second shot to the middle of the green, about pin high. That, as they say, would lead to this. Gane. Beautifully done. Another birdie, pushing her to four under. Let's shift on over now to the front side. Her back nine on the par 4 fourth, third shot.
The rarity of a missed green, but chips it close, saves her par. She stays at seven under.
She just eagled the previous hole to get to seven under. More from Gane. Up and down to save par on four. This a par putt on five. Impressive stuff from Gane. So let's get you up to speed where that leaderboard is right now. It's still Megan Gane. 7 under through 14. She's got four holes to go, round number one. We got a whole slew of players aiming at 3 under T2, including the defending champ, Lottie Woad.
And the world number one ranked amateur at that.
Here's the bio blast for Megan Gane, the New Jersey native, four-time drive, chip, and putt national finalist. A junior at Stanford, was a first-team All-American last year, part of the NCAA National Team Championship. Now let's get out to our team calling the action. Morgan Pressel, Cara Banks, and what the storylines are developing so far, round one.
George, thank you. There really are a lot of storylines here very early in this opening round of the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Myself and Morgan looking forward to bringing you our live coverage at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. But let's pick up where you left off. Megha Gani, arguably not a more exciting character in this field. We all fell in love with her, didn't we, at the Olympic Club back in 2021 as a high schooler. She obviously went on to win Low Amateur, but she was contending through the weekend. Eamon mentioned it. This is her fifth appearance in the Augusta National Women's Amateur, and she's certainly learned a thing or two about how to play this golf course. How impressed are you by this early round she's putting together, Morgan?
It's an incredible opening round. I mean, 7 under so far. The conditions are beautiful for scoring, and she is taking full advantage. As you mentioned, she knows how to play on big stages, playing at the Olympic Club, winning Low Am there at the U.S. Women's Open, but also here. I think having that experience under her belt, it's a little bit more calming for her than maybe some of these other players playing in this event for the first time being anxious out on the golf course. She is as calm and collected as possible. And she's a lot of fun to watch as well. I mean, she teed off in the second group out this morning. So she really took full advantage of those early conditions. And she's posting a score that everybody else is trying to chase.
Yeah, she has a megawatt smile. She's been competing in this before. She obviously began her university career at Stanford. Stanford is incredibly talented and has an incredibly talented crop of women in the field this week. You know, she was one of the first people to congratulate Anna Davis. Remember that big hug she had with the likes of Megha and Alexa Pano when she won here in 2022. It'll be fascinating to see if she can continue this, obviously, through the next couple of rounds. But we've also got to speak about the defending champion, Lottie Wo. George spoke about her on the leaderboard there. Nobody has ever gone back-to-back and successfully defended their title in what is admittedly the young history of this great event. But Lottie got off to almost as good a start as she could have, didn't she?
It's truly a dream start. 3 birdies in her first 4 holes. All eyes on her this week. Very different than the way she came into this event last year. Everybody wondering, how is she going to handle the pressure? How is she going to handle the moment? She had tremendous preparation coming into this week. I spoke with her coach quite a bit before today. Said they had wonderful warm-up today as well. She seems to be in a really good headspace, despite everything else going on around her. She has had a tremendous amount of obligations this week. And just over the past year in general, what a victory at Augusta National does for somebody's them being
star
famous,
power.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, star power. So it's been impressive to watch her. She really just goes about her business. I think we saw that in the final round last year, how calm she was. She got off to a start of 3 birdies in her first 4 holes. She finished with 3 birdies in her last 4 holes to end the tournament last year. So really just impressive golf. She obviously is very comfortable and not shying away from the moment whatsoever.
Yeah, she seemed incredibly grounded throughout this whole process. So let's get you out to the golf course and get straight out to our leader, Megha Gani. As you can see, leads by 4. She began on the back, so playing the front side of Champions Retreat Golf Club now on the tee.
You mentioned Stanford. They're the most represented school here in the fields, and they have quite a few players there up towards the top of the leaderboard. 3 in the top 2, tied for second at least in the moment.
Well, let's go over to the green at the 8th, and this is Rydquist for birdie across the green, and she holds it. We'll move her in the right direction. Well, one of the big stories this morning was the advancement of Mirabelle Tink. She moved up from 3rd to 2nd in the World Amateur Golf Ranking this morning. She is certainly going to be one to watch this week, Morgan.
Definitely on the short list. Coming in, has won 5 of her 6 collegiate events this season. And, she's a teammate of Lottie's. I mean, think about how the two of them press each other to be the best that they possibly can be.
Well, Florida State occupy the first 2 places in the World Amateur Golf Ranking, and Lottie Wo draining one in there also. A nice bounce-back birdie after the bogey at 7. So she remains 3 under on her day as we go back to the 6th and find Megha Gani to convert birdie. And she does. Seamless today, almost, as Megha Gani went out early, as Morgan mentioned, so been able to take advantage of some early conditions. Bogey free there was a 6th birdie, accompanied by the eagle at the 3rd, and she now sits pretty at 8 under par in the early going of this 6th edition of the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Can't wait to bring you our live coverage at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. We will see, George, if anybody can creep closer to the American who leads.
Continuing on Golf Today, countdown is on for the first men's major of the year. The Masters begins next week, April 10th through 13th, with Live from the Masters. beginning on Golf Channel Monday, April 7th. The winner of the Valero Texas Open, if he is not already exempt, gets a spot in next week's Masters. Some of the notable names on this list who are not in the field next week, including a man we've touched on earlier in the show, and Ricky Fowler, past Valero champ, Charlie Hoffman, friend and colleague, Kevin Kisner, just to name a few. So with more on one of these players, we welcome in Damon Hack from TPC San Antonio. Damon, we always hear how important it is to be top 50 in the world. Last week, we saw that play out in Houston. Guys tried to lock down that coveted Masters invite. Who was last in? Who was last out? What unfolded?
Yes, indeed, George. And Ben Griffin was much talked about last week. He's been kind of traveling inside and outside that top 50 in the official World Golf ranking for the last several months on the PGA Tour. Was ranked 53rd going into Houston last week and played very well. Shot 65 on Sunday to finish tied for 18th. Some media outlets reported that he was going to the Masters. Ben got some congratulatory text messages from friends, but by Sunday evening, he was a little bit confused. He was exhausted and he was emotional.
I'm proud of the way I fought and gave myself a lot of chances, and it'd be a dream come true to tee it up at Augusta. It's been a dream since I was a little kid to be there. We'll see what happens.
Is it fair to say that there was a game within the game out there for you today?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm trying my best to concentrate on each individual shot. Us golfers, we say that all the time, and it's really, really difficult to do that when you have external factors like getting into a major or, a top 10 gets you into next week if I didn't have status or whatever it may be. You still got to focus on each individual shot and try to see it. And so the best thing for me I could do is in between shots, try not to think about it too much. Think about other things. Think about basketball. All right, let's check this to the score of the Houston game or whatever if we had to wait on a tee. Stuff like that to try to get it off my mind. But, man, when you have a dream as a little kid and you have a chance, there's a lot of emotions over every shot. I mean, I'm tearing up right now thinking about it. But, we'll see what happens.
Later Sunday evening came the math and a difficult truth that Griffin's T18 finish actually left him just short, 51st in the official World Golf ranking, just behind Michael Kim, who edged him at 50. It actually led to a social media exchange between the two players, with Griffin saying, "Hey, Michael, congratulations. That was crazy. You've been on a heck of a run." Kim responded, "Go win Valero, and I'll see you in Augusta." As Kim noted, that top 50 was just one route into the Masters. The winner of the Valero Texas Open this week will also get into the Masters. Ben Griffin is in the field and well aware of what a redemptive story it would be.
I treat each individual tournament as an individual tournament. So, coming into this week, the goal is just to play really well and get in the mix and try to lift up a trophy. And, going back to last week, it was a bummer missing by such a fine margin between me and Michael. It seemed like it came down to like each individual shot kind of down the stretch. Maybe if Ryan Fox had bogeyed the last, I might have snuck in, who knows. But pretty wild the way things finished up. But you get knocked down, you get right back up, and here we are, week 13 in a row for me. So.
And if you are curious, it's happened quite a bit in the last few years that a player has won the Valero and played his way into Augusta National. Corey Connors back in 2019, for example, J.J. Spahn in 2022, and last year it was Akshay Patil, who won here at TPC San Antonio and played his way into the Masters.
Damon, I know you're going to be riding the Pony Express all the way there from San Antonio to Augusta Sunday night. What's your storyline next week? What are you looking for at Augusta?
I'd probably say Rory McIlroy is top of mind for me. I don't think he's ever played as well going into the first major championship as he has in 2025. And what a weight that's going to be on his shoulders, just in terms of every single, patron looking at him, knowing what's at stake. I think what he's trying to accomplish, completing the career Grand Slam at the Masters, which was done by Gene Sarazen in 1935, a completely different time, probably one of the most difficult things to do, not just in golf, but in sports, considering that he hasn't won a major since 2014, considering the talent that he has and what it would mean to go from one of the great players of this era
to one of the legends, one of the all-time greats in this game, should he find a way to do it. I know he reported last week that he was dealing with a bit of an elbow issue, going to work with his coach Michael Bannon and head to Augusta National. But I tell you what, to me, that's the number one storyline. It's can Rory McIlroy, who's already got a win at Pebble and a win at Players, find a way to slip his arms through that green jacket.
Wouldn't that be a story for the ages? Damon, thank you as always.
Senior writer Beth Ann Nichols joining us from Champions Retreat Golf Club. Beth Ann, clearly story of the day, Megan Gane. She got on a lot of golf fans' radar at the 2021 U.S. Women's Open as an amateur back then. Now, as a more developed collegiate amateur, we're seeing basically her full potential today as she's 9-under through 16.
You know, it's interesting. I was standing out by the 18th green earlier today and talking to Tiffany Joe, and I think she put it best. She said she's electric. She absolutely is. Anytime Megan Gane is in contention, it's just a whole lot more fun. Yesterday, I was talking to her longtime coach, Katie Rudolph, over by the practice tee, and she said that when Megan got here earlier this week, she said this place feels like home, and I think that's just really indicative of obviously how comfortable she is now in her fifth time at this tournament. You know, she has been one of the faces of U.S. women's amateur golf for a really long time, and she's really embraced that role and is blossoming at Stanford. Head coach Ann Walker told me earlier this year that she's really working on how can she improve just 1%, just small ways. And she's stronger than ever. She's fitter than ever. She's more flexible than she's ever been. So, you know, she's just trying to find anything that she can to just eke out a little bit more of her game. And we're seeing it all on full display today.
Beth Ann, talk to us about this Stanford team. It seems as though they would need their own bus to get to the clubhouse. I mean, they are pretty well represented here. I guess there's 8 people affiliated with Stanford in the field, 6 of them on the current roster.
Yeah, it's absolutely remarkable. I mean, just think how tough it is just to make the traveling squad at Stanford right now. You know, what I think is so cool about this team, though, you know, is that it's success by committee. There's been 3 players that have won individual titles so far this year, and they haven't lost as a team yet. So, you know, there's just a lot of respect. You know, I was talking to Coach Walker about ego earlier. I said, it seems like you don't have a lot of ego in your team. She said, no, we want ego, but we want it in the right place. We want it when you're on the 18th green trying to win a tournament, but not in the locker room. And I think that says a lot about the culture that Ann Walker has developed at Stanford. And she said there's a lot of respect on this team of all the players that have come before them and the precedent that they've set. There's not a superstar on this team. It's just a solid top-to-bottom group.
Beth Ann, there are 3 past champs in the field, including Anna Davis, and she's had a up and down Augusta National women's amateur career. How has her game evolved over the years as she's once again in the mix?
Well, of course, she's matured quite a bit. She's a college sophomore now at Auburn. She's worked a lot technically on her game. She says it's hard for her to look back at her swing when she won as a 16-year-old. She feels like aesthetically it's a lot better now. She's working on actually moving the ball the opposite way so she can have a little bit more control. You know, I think when you look at this year, you know, she's won some tournaments at Auburn in record-breaking fashion, really starting to hit her stride and comfort level there. She, of course, is at Auburn with her twin brother. They share a car. She says she dominates the car mostly, but a lot of comfort there on campus. And she's really soaking up all that she can of college life. And I kind of get the impression that she's going to be there for the long haul, that she really sees all the positives that she can take from this time. And you know, she said, look, if I'm not winning every week, you know, in college golf, there's no reason to rush on to the next level, which is kind of surprising when you consider how much LPGA major championship exposure she got so early on after winning this at just the age of 16. And she's obviously overcome a lot of adversity at this championship, getting that 4-stroke penalty 2 years ago for using lift clear in place in the rough. And then, of course, last year, dinged with a slow play penalty. She missed the cut in both occasions. Said it was actually tougher last year. That was harder because she felt like she was a little more out of her control than that 4-stroke penalty. But that she got over it quicker because she has greater perspective and more maturity. She said she was able to joke about it a week later. So, you know, she's definitely one to watch this week.
How different is this week from the norm for a lot of these competitors, Bethan? Because Augusta National does have a certain ceremony about the way it does things. And we saw that last night, obviously, with the chairman's dinner. Is it difficult for the competitors to get into the normal routine that they would experience week to week?
Well, I will say they plan their whole year around this event. What they have to do to get into this week. This is the week in amateur golf for women. And I think, you know, when you ask them what it's like, what's the advantage of having been here before, you would think they would talk about, you know, what they've learned from course knowledge on the two courses. But it's actually a lot of times outside the ropes of knowing what to expect with all of these big moments, like the chairman's dinner. You know, I had a player say to me yesterday that, you know, she was really underdressed the first year. She didn't realize what kind of affair it was going to be and was really self-conscious about that. And she actually ordered two dresses a month ago to have this week just in case so she'd feel prepared. So for a lot of players, just knowing where you're going to go, knowing what the schedule of the week is going to be like, just gives you a lot of comfort.
It's a lot easier to show up for dinner with a chairman when you're only wearing a green jacket and that's the only thing that's expected of you. Bethan, thanks as always. We look forward to more reports later in the week.
Thank you.
Well, Matt McCarty won multiple times last year, including his first PGA Tour title and only his third start. Next week is a big one, though. His first drive down Magnolia Lane as a competitor in the Masters. We're going to check in on his nervousness level when we come back.
We now have Matt McCarty on the show, winner last fall at the Black Desert Championship, getting you that spot in the Masters. And Matt, why is it so important for you to be back at the site of your victory?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just good to, you know, bring the good vibes back. And it's nice to be back for a couple of days and, you know, kind of rest and just hang out. And played the course yesterday. It was a little firmer with some wind. So, you know, played a little bit challenging, but still very comfortable to kind of be back and hit all those shots. So, yeah, it's just really cool to be back. It's the first time I've been back since, you know, that week. So just good vibes heading into next week and kind of cool to be at the place that the reason that I'm going to Augusta, you know, to be back full circles, kind of cool.
Well, the good vibes covers the mental preparation part for Augusta National. What does the game preparation look like for you now, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it'll kind of, I've been playing a lot of golf lately, so kind of taking this week a little easy and, you know, saving some energy for when I get out there and do all the work around the greens at Augusta next week. I don't think you can really replicate that place too easily anywhere else. So, but yeah, just kind of rest up, played a lot of golf already this year and, you know, game's been feeling good for the last month. So kind of just, you know, recharge a little bit going into next week and, you know, conserve some of that energy to kind of learn that place when I'm out there.
And when you say learn that place, I'm assuming you haven't been to Augusta before, or is this going to be a first experience?
I took my scouting trip the week before the Players. So, you know, spent 4 days there, which was awesome. And kind of to get, you know, that whole experience out of the way, I think will be good leading into the week. But I feel like I've never played a course four times before and felt like I still have a lot to learn. So that place is unique in that way for sure. So definitely going to utilize, you know, all the practice round days next week. But excited to, you know, be out there and the opportunity to play, obviously. And I felt like, you know, growing up watching that event so much on TV is kind of one of the only places I've ever played where I felt like I knew it before I kind of stepped on property. So I was pleased with, you know, kind of the shots I was able to hit and, you know, places that I was after, you know, kind of the same as all the guys that I grew up watching. So I was very pleased with how, you know, my game kind of fit that place.
Matt, a lot of rookies will seek out a veteran who's been there for a long time for their first practice rounds just to be able to pick their brains as they begin the week. Have you reached out to anyone or do you have plans to play with anyone in particular as you get ready for the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I played last weekend, both Saturday and Sunday with Jason Day. So when we were kind of finishing up our round on Sunday, I asked him if I, you know, could join him around that place and kind of get some of his wisdom. But I was kind of picking his brain out there on the weekend too, just asking some questions. So I'll definitely, you know, I utilize as much advice from the older guys, but Jason was awesome. And, you know, hopefully he'll let me join him in a few days.
Matt, what you did last summer was incredible. And I got a stat for you. It's just Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, you, who had 4+ wins worldwide, spanning multiple tours. You were outside the top 300 going into last June. You win 3 times in the Korn Ferry Tour, then get the win at the Black Desert Championship that jumped you at the time inside the top 50 in the world. You just don't see guys do that. What ignited that run?
I mean, very simply, like losing a 3-shot lead in Denver the week before the first win. But I think just, you know, a lot of things and a lot of growth over the last 2-3 years with my game, and kind of for it to culminate in that way, just, you know, kind of on a landslide of some really good golf for a few months. But, you know, I feel like even though the results haven't been there kind of early this year, the last kind of month and where my game's at, I feel really good. And I think it's just one of those things. I've always been able to kind of improve at this game. I've gotten better every year since I was, you know, 12 years old. So I think that's just been the goal for me, and whatever that can kind of culminate in, and just be the best I can be. And for it to culminate, you know, kind of in that, you know, 3-4 month stretch at the end of the year last year was pretty awesome. So
Matt, we always get blown away when we hear about speed gains and distance gains. Bryson DeChambeau grabbed all these headlines a few years back, but then it was Matt Fitzpatrick who was under the radar, who added length, and then he won a major with the U.S. Open. You went from averaging 290 off the tee in 2022 to 302 last year on the Korn Ferry Tour. It's never easy to add 12 yards off the tee. What did you do day-to-day over those past couple years to mold you in the player that you are now?
Yeah, I mean, I think just a lot more focus in the gym, and honestly, on recovery as well. I think when you're playing, you know, 25, 26 events a year, and to be as fast the next week as you were the week before, it's as much about recovery. So just kind of learning a lot about my body and understanding a little bit more was very helpful. But then also to spend the time and actually work at it. And I was always kind of a late bloomer, I guess, growing up. So, you know, it took me a while to add some pounds and gain some speed. But I was actually, when Fitzpatrick won the U.S. Open in 22, I was there. You know, that was a pretty long course for me at that moment. And I saw him using the SAC system, which, you know, was developed by some of the guys at Ping too. So reached out to them and got my hands on one of those. So that's kind of, you know, my speed training tool. But I would say for the most part, it's kind of been done in the gym for sure.
Matt, you mentioned you've been playing some quality golf. You've made 5 straight cuts, a couple of top 20s after a little rockier start to the season. Do you feel as though you're still finding your feet out there? Because when you win in your third start, you're kind of thrown in at the deep end. You haven't really had a lot of time to kind of find your equilibrium on how to go about your business on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've already learned a lot in the last few months. And I think it is a lot out here, you know, kind of learning most of these courses for the first time. I mean, out of the 2 courses I knew the most, TPC Scottsdale, I just didn't play well that week. But TPC Sawgrass, my girlfriend's family lives there, so I've played that place a lot and, you know, kind of finished T20 that week, but felt very comfortable with the golf course going into it and, you know, gotten some extra days at Augusta. So hopefully that'll bode me well for next week too. But I think I've learned a lot the next 2 months. And I think, you know, I think very often your first full season on tour, you're not in all the majors. So I've been trying to like pick these guys' brains of kind of how they go about their schedules and trying to learn a lot about, you know, planning my, you know, season around these 3 or 4 events. So, really excited for that and feel good kind of going into the, you know, the beginning of the major season for me. So it'll be awesome.
We'll play well next week and enjoy the walk at Augusta, Matt.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.